roll call, please. Trustee Rozier.
Yes.
Trustee Scott.
Yes.
Trustee Joyce.
Yes.
Trustee Young.
Can we verify that there was a meeting notice sent?
Anyway, I guess we
yes, the meeting notice was sent. With regard to our minutes from the prior meeting, we will delay our consideration of that and move into our first report. Mr. Meeks?
Yes. Good morning, trustees.
Good morning.
I'd like to begin by asking our controller, Ted Lannan, to come up to give an update on the financial statements for the quarter.
Good morning, Mr. Lannan.
Good morning, trustees. I'll start with the balance sheet, page one in the financial packet here. The first two main items to focus on here are the cash equivalents and the state and other receivables. It's a related change here. The cash is up significantly. We remember from the first quarter, we noticed it didn't seem to make sense, but the timing's caught up with us here. We're in a good cash position right now. So that's why the cash is higher with the great improvement in receipt of the state receivables. Also, the receivables have gone down as a result of that significantly, almost $10 million. Then if you look at accounts receivable net, $5.5 million. That's primarily due to the MAP and the Illinois Veterans Grant, that is up by that amount. Looking down at the investment in plant, $3.1 million increase, that's primarily related to the CDB and other projects. Now I want to move down to the liabilities section, accounts payable and accrued wages. Primarily, this is due, the decrease of $2.9 million is primarily due to the textbook and learning program. There was a big payable in that in FY10, which is, in FY11 rather, which has gone down. Accrued compensated absence decrease of $1 million, that's primarily due to payout on retirements and such. I'd like to move to the statement of revenues and expenditures. And the first item on that is the appropriations, which shows that it's down $2.3 million. That's primarily a timing difference, but as well, we do have a lower appropriation in FY12 compared to FY11 of about $1 million plus.
Our appropriation decreased?
For the basic appropriations, the general appropriations, it is about $1 million less in FY12 than it was in FY11. The grants and contracts revenue is, there's an increase, a decrease rather of $4.8 million there, the student tuition and fees rather. There's an increase of $4.8 million there. That's primarily due to the increases in the tuition. The grants and contracts, that is down $5.8 million, and that is primarily a decrease in the textbook and learning materials grant of a about 4.2 million. That was a bigger initiative in FY 10, excuse me, in FY 11. Then if we move down to the other income line, it's a decrease of almost 300,000. That's primarily a decrease in budgeted athletics and the CRCP program. Moving down to the expenditures, the first main item here is the student services, a decrease in expenditures of 4.1, and that's again related to the textbook and learning materials grant primarily. And the last major item is the auxiliary services, an increase of $1.9 million. This is related to a timing difference, and part of it is we changed a method of accounting related to the meal plans in the in FY 11 that was changed back at the end of the year. So it's only appears this way at mid-year. Are there any questions?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
In terms of the decrease in, from the state appropriation, is that something that all the universities in the state received a decrease in about the same percent, or is our decrease different than that of the other universities?
Yeah. That was an across-the-board decrease for all institutions, not just ours.
Glenn, what was that decrease the year before? I just don't recall for the meeting. Was it a similar decrease?
No, it was a heftier decrease the year before. The year before, I believe that was when we had the federal stimulus dollars.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was that's a little heftier. We were looking at over, that was close to $3.5 million.
Yeah, I knew it.
About 6.5% decrease. Okay.
Yep.
If that's all then on the financials, I'd like to segue into talking a little bit about our cash position. Mr. Lannon in his presentation indicated that we were in a pretty good cash position. I think last time we met, I mentioned that as well, so I'll go here to the screen. So if you'll allow me, can I just move this just in case you guys can see this? As always, what we do is we project out every 2 weeks our cash position so that we can monitor our cash very closely. And as you can see here, we're projecting at the end of March 15th, the middle of March, we're looking at line number 47 here, that balance. We're looking at about $24 million cash. Since I've been here, my tenure here, that's the healthiest we've ever been in terms of our cash position during this time of the year. And this is, and understand too that this $24 million also represents the fact that we've already have, you know, we're well into the refund process for our students, and that's a big drain on our cash, you know, the whole refund process. You know, we're halfway through this, you know, through the term, almost halfway through the term, and we're still looking at about $25 million in cash. Now, the bottom line, remember, is that we still have money that is still owed us by the state. And so that simply means that that's what it would be if we didn't receive those reimbursements.
How much is that?
Well, we've got the same number. Yeah. Let me just mention this, that currently, do you have what the current state balance is that they owe us currently? Currently, right now, the state currently owes us $19 million. $3.4 million of that represents the spring MAP money that we haven't been reimbursed. They gave us the money for the fall MAP. It's a good thing. And the $16 million here represents mostly payroll and also some other, mainly payrolls in here, and other non-payroll reimbursable items that we've submitted. So if we project out in terms of looking at our cash position, we're still looking at $18.3 million positive cash. And if the state doesn't reimburse us any other dollars from now until the end of May, we still have close to $8 million worth of cash available. in mind, now, we're only talking about our cash position here. You know, cash is really temporary. It's not reoccurring. That's currently how we are now. So that doesn't mean that we can go out and, you know, spend the bank. No, we can't. We have to maintain a certain amount of cash reserves on hand for contingencies, things that we don't expect that's going to happen. You know, we know now that, for example, the president was telling us that, and he's been echoing this, the whole thing with the pension laws. They're asking the university, you know, to possibly pony up the state's portion of the pension reimbursement that's due. For us, you know, that's $7 million every year, over $7 million every year. Now, we were forced to do that, and there's legislation that's going on. I understand that they're going to try to pass something this spring term, this session. And if it is, and we have to pony up all of the pension or support all of the pension, we're going to need these cash reserves. And as you can see, $7 million, you know, we're going to need, and that's only just, and again, this cash, once it's gone, it's gone. This is not reoccurring. So we have to be very careful how we spend it. Okay? But if we project out, let's go further down. We're doing a long-term projection here. We looked at the end of May. Can you guys see this number, or do we need to amplify this?
Amplify.
I'm trying to see where we start to run into problems if we continue to project out. And this is our, you know, we look at this on a long-term basis as well. We look short-term, and then we also look long-term projections. As you can see here, right around in July, you know, we start to possibly run into problems if we don't receive any funding from the state. We're looking at $1.6 million cash, but if they continue to reimburse us the way they should, we're still looking at about $20.9 million at the end of July. So for the most part, cash-wise, I feel good about it, cash-wise. But there's things that are looming on the horizon that we know about that we need to be prepared for in terms of our cash.
You know, the issue with the pension that you just talked about, is that something that's on the, what's the status of that in the spring? You know?
Well, the only thing I know, and if anyone has any additional information, feel free to chime in. The only thing that I know about it is that there's some discussion in terms of how best to do that. We know what's going to happen.
You know the funding.
But we don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know whether or not we're going to have to come up with the entire 12.5% or whether or not there'll be some type of a blended system where we kick in a portion of it. They may ask the employee to pay a portion, and then the state ponies up, you know, their portion of it.
That's right.
And so those are the discussions that are going on. We don't know where that's going to shake out.
Okay.
Now, of course, if they ask the employees, of course, to pony up a portion of that, you know, right now, most employees, they have 8%, their employees' portion that's going to CERS. So anything in addition to that reduces the amount of their discretionary income. And so in essence, even though they're putting it in a pot for later years, they don't have immediate access for those funds for those years. So it amounts to almost like a pay decrease, a decrease in pay, because you have less disposable income.
There was a meeting approximately 2 weeks ago of all university presidents, Speaker Madigan, and President Cullerton, and the governor's budget director, specifically talking one agenda item, discussing CERS in terms of the pension. And basically, the legislators are taking a very strong position. They asked the presidents, they told the presidents that they were considering us absorbing the entire 12.5% of the normal cost of CERS. It was a good discussion. It lasted for about 2 minutes with those three gentlemen. Speaker Madigan had Lauder there. And our response is that we're looking more toward a blending, which is what Glenn stated. And, you know, the general conversation is going, looking at a 3 for the university, 3 for the employee, and 6.5 for the state. We have no idea what they're going to settle on. None whatsoever.
Okay.
The unions have been totally involved at the state level. The AFL-CIO, they have been involved at the state level. The Teamsters have not been involved at the state level, though.
Thanks,
Scott.
Okay.
That leads me to, so whether it's 3 or the whole 12, this is a brand new expense that I can't see how it's been budgeted for.
Significant.
It's not even here yet.
That's true.
And what's the plan going to be to meet that new expense?
I'm glad you asked that question. We are formulating a plan as we speak. You know, we want to, the cash right here, we can immediately address a need based on our cash position. Being in a positive cash position that we are in, we can temporarily allows us some breathing room. In a little while, I've got one resolution that's on the table right now, and it's concerning tuition increase. And unfortunately, when you're faced with something like that, you're not getting any support from the state, we have to look at all of our revenue sources. Tuition is one of them. Giving is another. Grants and contracts is another one. You know, all of those areas we have to look at for additional revenue, less additional revenue streams and additional funds. And so none of them are sacred. We have to look at them all. And immediately because of our positive cash position, we can address the immediate need, at least for a year, maybe 2, before we have to look at some other form of permanent funding. Okay. 2 things I would like to bring to the board's attention just for information purposes. One is I want to talk a little bit about the budget. Our budget was reduced this year by about, well, not really reduced. Well, there was a 0.1% set aside. And the 0.1% set aside, this is of our state appropriation. That 0.1% set aside was primarily for performance-based funding. And it amounts to a little less than $45,000. That's the round figure, a little less than that for us. Now, our state appropriation, of course, is closer to $40 million. So the 0.1% set aside, we were able to address that, you know, by reducing some of our contractual services so that we can absorb that quite easily. Something else about the budget, and I believe in the presentation earlier this morning, some of you board members may already be aware of about our enrollment numbers. Our enrollment numbers are down for the current academic year compared to last year. Our projections for our budget were based on not those reduced numbers, but on the different numbers. And so we had to reduce or we had to revise our existing budget. And as a result of that, our budget going forward for 2013 also reflects that reduction, because we're assuming a flat budget. But with that, we do have a balanced budget, and we're able to sustain ourselves based on the reduction in the numbers and doing a reallocation of resources. And so there's no major sacrifices that we have to make as an institution at this time, pending what happens with the state with the pension fund and other things that that may be happening.
You know, Glenn, given the fact that we know for certain that we're going to have to do something in terms of a pension contribution, what it's going to look like, what we can anticipate is going to be at least 3%, right? And given that we are looking at a modified budget on because of enrollment numbers, mm-hmm. I mean, don't we need to start looking to make adjustments? I mean, some real adjustments, like a plan for adjustments in our budget. I don't know where you get the money, but I mean, don't you need? Have you been in discussions with the president or any other parts
yes.
of the university about how we might meet that shortfall?
Yes, we have. The president and I, we've been in discussions in our operations meeting concerning with the budget concerns. We're looking internally at things. You know, we're looking at, you know, we're looking at our positions. We're looking at vacancy dollars that we currently have available, whether or not we should or should not utilize those to fill vacant positions.
Can we
those are the kinds of things.
Monies like that from positions, open positions. I mean, are we in a position to do that?
I'm sorry.
Not fill open positions and what kind? You know what kind of savings you would derive from that?
Oh yes, we know exactly what it would be.
Okay.
Well, we know what that would be.
Well, here is what I mean. I think that there ought to be a presentation at our next meeting on the modifications to the budget and where we can see a savings. Just it can be a draft, but we need to.
And I agree with you, and we can certainly do that. I think by the time we meet again, we would have some more definitive information as to what's happening in Springfield and whether or not we're going to be exposed to a 3%, 6%, 12%, that we have to pony up, you know, as much as that. So, yes, we can certainly do that. Because we're working all the time. We're on top of this in terms of looking at our budget and and making the adjustments as they're necessary. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I mean, I understand that you all are.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons why I brought it up.
Okay.
And we can certainly do that, share that information with you.
Okay, thank you.
The other thing I wanted to, point out, just as a point of information, and that has to do with the, just an update on the, another source of revenue, another source of funds for us. However, we do have those earmarked for certain things, and that is the 2% riverboat dollars that we have. I'm currently in discussions with the comptroller's office and members there as to the disposition of that. I've got a call a little later on this afternoon, and hopefully we'll have something a little bit more definitive. We have a meeting set Monday to meet with the Appropriations Committee for the Senate with the state. And one of the questions that they asked us about the casino dollars for the universities. What would we do with them? How much do we expect to receive? We contacted the gaming board and found out that based on the 2% that we were allocated, that we're looking at upwards to about $7 million a year based on gross receipts from gambling. The difficulty lies in this is that the Gaming Commission had contacted the comptroller's office. They were ready to cut us a check back in October. But they were told that there was no mechanism, that there has to be some legislation that they have to put forth in order to have those dollars come. In other words, there was some kind of a wall or some type of a screen there. And we don't know just how entangled that process is going to be. And so I have asked for something in writing to indicate what we need to do in order to push this forward, because we greatly need those dollars.
So, what are other universities doing?
Other universities, these are dollars that are just set aside for Chicago State University. I don't believe that there are other institutions that are involved in getting these dollars.
This is done.
For me, there's a great many municipalities in the south suburbs that are going to get some of those dollars.
That's true. That's true.
Do we know exactly what they're doing or have done?
Trustee, that's part of the dilemma that I'm faced with, because I can't seem to get any answers from the comptroller's office. And so I may have to, get the support of our legal counsel involved and talk to maybe their legal people to find out exactly what seems to be the problem. Or what mechanisms do we need to go through in order to facilitate this, to make this happen? Because when I was just in the discussions just this morning with a gentleman from the comptroller's office in the Treasury Department about this very thing, because he was the individual whose name that I was given by the Gaming Commission that they've been speaking with, and I was trying to pin him down on some information, providing something to me in writing. So we're going to have a conference call this afternoon about 2:00. So. Hopefully I'll have some more information to share with the president and the board members next time we meet.
It should be noted that The university has taken a very strong position of being in compliance with its financial obligations and expectations from its students, which is one of the audit findings that we had last year. And therefore, we have resulted, and let me ask Vice President Henderson. Vice President Henderson, with regards to validation, how many students did we lose? Validation, these are students who have a C average or higher. A number of them had B averages. And we lost them. That was part of our enrollment drop because they did not have money. Vice President Henderson, approximately, what was the number? Students who we lost because they did not have dollars.
Students who could not pay, they didn't have dollars.
But they did have the grade point average. Okay, and we're taking a, remember the audit finding we had last year? Those students were allowed to enroll regardless of money. And so we're taking a very strong position with regards to the 2% dollars coming from the gaming, saying that those dollars would be used to fund scholarships. It takes it out of the politics of a number of individuals in the legislature was stating that their fear was that we were going to use the dollar for raises. We were going to use the dollar to buy office furniture. And we wanted to kill that direction that they were going and say, no, these dollars will be used 100% for student scholarships.
But Glenn, you're not under the school thought that we won't receive that 2%. You're saying there's legislation put in place that we've got to go through to make that happen.
I'm saying what I'm really saying is that it appears that they're not making it easy for us to receive those dollars for some reason.
And Trustee, we have, in fact, we hear from him this morning, we have secured a state lobbying firm to help us out with that process, and the person who is now on board, he is a formal legislative appropriations director, so he's well aware of how you go through that process and accessing those dollars for Chicago State.
And you found it difficult enough, Glenn, that you think we need to hire somebody to do that for us?
Oh, yes.
We called the governor's office and asked about it? Yes,
Dan Hines is right next to me.
Really?
At Ariel. I mean, if it's just clarification on the process, I mean, I'm sure we can get clarification. That's what I'm hearing anyway, right?
Yes. I mean, any assistance that we have in order to move those dollars to Chicago State University.
Who were you talking to at the gaming board?
I don't have his name with me.
Was it the administrator? Do you call his name?
He's the chief financial officer for the gaming board. Chief financial officer for the gaming board. I can provide you with his name. I have it. I just don't have it with me.
I was going to say, in terms of the lobbyists we hired, Irma just told me it was LG Sims.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's going to appear before us later this morning,
right,
isn't he? So we can direct some of these questions.
Exactly.
We have to hire somebody.
Okay.
Because a lot of it's political in terms of the whole process.
Political. Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's the other point of information, just information purposes that I'd like to share with the board. On that note, I do have one resolution, one action item here that I'd like to discuss. And to assist me with this, I'm going to ask Dean Gist. My tongue has got twisted. I apologize. This is Dean Sylvia Gist.
Good morning.
Okay. What I'd like to do is I'd like to read, because I provided to the board a revised resolution.
Okay. Is it in the issue?
Hopefully you should have received
yes.
that.
Yes, they did.
Okay. If you'll allow me, I'd like to read it to you.
I don't think you need to read it.
Okay, then just the parts that I changed?
That'd be great.
Okay, all right. What I did is I changed the fourth whereas clause. is the one that I've changed.
You added the live text, right?
Yes. I said Chicago State University wishes to have all students to enroll in live text for all classes. The cost will be covered by the increase in the tuition. We're proposing a 2.75% increase in tuition for the fall, beginning with the fall term. And for the sake of all others, the tuition increase that we're asking for will only affect transfer students and also new students on the undergraduate level. The board has, in the previous resolution, the board had already approved an increase in our graduate and doctoral education program. The initial increase was a 10% increase, and then 2-3% increases on top of whatever the undergraduate increase was going to be. Since the undergraduate increase is 2.75, the 3% was added because that was agreed upon before, and now that makes the graduate and the doctoral 5.75% increase. Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah, that we revised it. In the old resolution, it had a different number, but we revised this resolution. We revised this resolution to show the correct number as well.
And they had that graduate doctoral being significantly higher because we were, if I recall, we were behind previous years.
So our undergraduate, you're correct, trustee. Our undergraduate rate was greater than our graduate tuition rate per credit hour. And so we didn't want to do a catch up and have a 20% increase. So we decided to phase it in over several years. And that's what we're doing.
This 2.75% for the undergraduates and freshmen, how much is that in real dollars? How much more is it going to cost the student now?
It's going to cost a student about $7 or $8 per credit hour addition, or roughly 150, or you multiply that times 30 for the year, and that'll give you the additional cost for them. So $8 times 30, $240 a year.
I hate to ask this question, but is that number significant enough? Is a number large enough to move the needle to what you're trying to do?
No.
I mean, I would never want to raise tuition on a student, but
I don't think it's enough. I mean, I know this is a number that was taken to committee, but I guess we have to look at the reality is we're trying to recover from our enrollment numbers. Our enrollment has been impacted by the ability of students to pay and certain of our academic policies. We have a long-term strategy for building enrollment, but it's a strategy that's going to take some time to implement. So we do expect to see a decrease in our tuition and fees because of those policies and strategies. And then going forward, we can anticipate some revenue drains based on some state initiatives. So I don't think it's enough. You're going to make some budget adjustments that we're going to hear about soon. But I think the tuition, if you could give us at least a summary of what other universities are doing this year, because I know you've looked at those numbers as well. And we're on the very lowest side of that.
Yes,
right?
We are. Let me just mention Trustee Scott's point. Some of the other institutions, I believe Illinois State has gone out, it was in the news recently, that they're increasing their tuition 6.5%. University of Illinois, 4.8%. Governor State, 2.5%. They're still touting themselves as the lowest tuition, in the state. I think that's one of their marketing tools. And then we're looking at Northeastern University. I believe theirs is 2.8%.
But we've been slower over the years to raise tuition, so we are already behind. So I don't know that it excites me that we're only increasing 2.75 if it's not significant enough. Like I said, never want to put this burden on the students, but in light of the things that are coming down the pike here, I mean, if you're going to do it, I just want to make sure that we don't keep coming back to these students year after year after year. We've got to make it significant enough to take care of the business that needs to be taken care of. I don't know that that's the case, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
to express a opposite viewpoint, I guess. I think the students would rather see it year after year after there's been a demonstrated, without a doubt, need, rather than, because we just heard that we lost 900 students this year who had a C average above and are not coming back because they can't pay the tuition. Now we're going to raise it $240. I don't know if that's going to, you know, if that causes us to lose students, then we're, in fact, the purpose of the increase, we're defeating our own purpose. If we're going to lose students, we'll lose the money that the increase is supposed to make up. And I, since this is what's proposed, I think we ought to take the proposal and see where that leaves us, particularly wait and see whether we have to give the state pension fund 12% or 3%. Yeah. I think that makes a significant difference.
And I'd like to echo something that you said too, Trustee Young, is that we really don't know until the law is passed, the mandate is passed, and I'd rather err on the side of a known situation than to, you know, to sit down and maybe, you know, guess and project. the good position that we find ourselves in, trustees, is the fact that we do have cash reserves now, and those cash reserves can sustain us through this uncertainty until we're certain, and then we'll know exactly what we have to do. We're in the same boat that all the other 9 universities are in. We're in the same boat. And so if we're forced because of the pension plan to, in, you know, to have to go back to the well with the, you know, an increased tuition again, well, guess what? The other 9 universities will have to do the same thing and follow suit, and we'll see where the, we'll see how things shake out.
But they've already in the past increased their tuition more and are also doing it again this year. So I'm just trying to understand what puts them in a position to do that, and we're not in that same position. Kind of, I mean, to Trustee Young's point, I mean, it's, to me, I hate the halfway option. You know, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I mean, it's either you go, you know, Trustee Young's point, you just don't do it, you wait and see, or you make it significant enough to cover whatever might come down the pike. I'm just trying to get my hands around sort of this in-between option. When I see the other universities again,
outpacing us in, you know, in terms of, right, of tuition increases.
Just wondering what they, you know,
I mean,
You're good.
But you know, the because Vice President Henderson's point, you know, we are impacting students when we with our tuition rates, but we are looking for alternative ways to help students finance the education,
mm-hmm.
and with that category of students. But I mean, and I know this was the recommendation was a result of a committee. Committee of the university, but I'm telling you, I don't think it's enough.
Okay.
And I'm not asking you to go back into committee and reconsider,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want this board to be in a position of having to look for ways to bring revenue in through increasing fees and tuition when we could have taken care of that now.
Right. There's another solution here. Two, you know, in looking at the whole tuition picture, and this is another thing that we have to consider, and this places the onus on the university, on our marketing efforts. Two ways that we can increase tuition. We can have tuition remain constant and increase our numbers in terms of our enrollment.
I mean, I know that's a strategy,
you know,
already.
Which is also a possibility, because we know that the hit that we took now, we had to do this cleansing, we had to do the purge. But that doesn't mean that it'll sustain itself and that it'll always be at that level.
But here's Glenn. I don't think you should rely on our enrollment department to drive our budget. I mean, we are going to make all kinds of efforts to increase our enrollment at the school. Mm-hmm. We have to deal with what we have to deal with now. We have projected, you know, that we're going to have some difficult enrollment numbers. We know that going in. And we know going in that we're going to, even though we have reserves, we want to keep some reserves.
Oh, yes.
Because we have no idea when something's going to fall down. So I don't think that we are adequately projecting our increase. And I think the president would like to say something. And I'd like the board to consider an additional increase But I don't want to shoot in the dark without some idea of what that should be. But I'm assuming that you've had discussions with enrollment and that you know enrollment's going to be flat. You know they're going to do their best to recruit. But you know those numbers are not going to go up. I mean, we're not projecting that those numbers are going to go up right now. So to speculate the numbers are going to go up is what I don't want us to do.
I think we're better off making the assumption that the costs are going to go up.
Right.
I think that's probably going to happen.
Yes, Mr. President.
Glenn, let me ask you, our monthly payroll, that number is what?
Roughly about $3.5 million.
Okay. At a minimum, universities should keep on hand, at a minimum, three times their monthly payroll, at a minimum. And that's being extremely conservative.
I'm sorry, you did say monthly, $7 million. 3.45 is just one payroll.
Okay.
So about $7 million.
Therefore, that $7 million that we have at this point is not a cushion for this university based on standards of what most universities try to keep on reserve at a minimum. That's one point. Second point is, I am greatly concerned about the number of students that we have lost because they did not have the tuition dollars, no question about it. At the same time, in looking at the pattern, I realize the students will pay, you know, and we have to continue to let students know that we have a quality product to offer. My concern is that we will diminish the quality of our product going forward if we do not continue to fund with resources in terms of providing support services to our faculty, support services to our students, in the appropriate competitive salaries to attract quality faculty. I highly respect the committee process. But you know, as I know, in the last week, a lot of things have happened that none of us had planned on the last 2 weeks, and that's even after the committee had met. So I would recommend that between now, if it's okay with Madam Chair, between now and when we had a full board meeting, that you have your staff crunch some numbers and give the board some insight as to what it would be like if we went up 1% in addition to 2.75, 2% or 3%, and give them, you know, those points as to what that would mean, and share that with the board before we have the open board meeting. Madam Chair, would that be okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well. Let me just mention something because we can just get a good picture right now. The 2.75% increase would generate a little less than $700,000. So
that's over the year?
Yep, it's over the year.
$700,000.
So if you double that.
To 5.5.
So then we're looking at just a little less than, you know, 1.4 million. And we're looking at it roughly about a 5% increase, right? A little over 5% increase. 5.5% increase.
Right, which is approximately. That's $1 million last year, right?
I'm sorry.
That was our approximate increase last year.
No, we had a 3% increase last year. The year before that, I think it was 8%. The year before that, 8%.
Right.
So.
But we, right, that's the, I guess that's a key. We did lose that million.
We lost $1 million in appropriation.
So even this increase doesn't.
The year before, yes.
I mean, that increase doesn't even make up what we lost appropriations. Not that we're playing that game,
right,
but it's what the number loses itself to.
Trustee Young, you
want to say something? Yeah, I have a question. I'd like to know, what percent of the university's budget comes from tuition?
Half.
Half of the
little
university's
over half.
Budget comes from?
Almost half, yes. Well, the total state appropriation, state appropriation about 40 million. We're projecting another 40 million from a little over 40 million from tuition and fees, and then other ancillary funds are about 15 million. And so, yeah, just a little less than half.
It's about 40%.
Just a little less than half.
We are way outside of the paradigm, and Judge Young, where, if you remember, 15 years ago, the paradigm was that it was supposed to be more like a third, you know, where the state was going to be paying a third, you know. And that paradigm, universities were not supposed to be charging beyond a third. That was the thought 15 years ago. But the dollars that we receive now from the state, are those 1998 dollars or those 2002 dollars? I forget.
Yeah, I think it was either I think it's something like 2002, 2004.
So our real dollars that we receive today are equivalent to what?
I was talking to my budget person. He was lower than it was. It was 19 what?
The 90s, because 2002, I think, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So early 19s.
So the state has consistently cut back over the last 10 years, or as I'm now hearing, 15 years. So we're getting 1990 plus dollars compared, but yet the COLA has gone up. And that's why universities' tuition have regrettably had to go up.
I get it. Let me just mention too.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Chairman, but keep in mind as well, you know, in terms of our ranking, in terms of our tuition, one of the things that the legislators look at in funding us is they look at the tuition and where we rank with the other institutions within the state. Ours is one of the highest right now. I think our tuition alone is among one of the highest currently. I think we're like number seven, the seventh highest. Help me here. Yeah, and if you add the fees with the tuition, then we're fifth in terms of the other schools.
Well, who's in front of us?
In terms of being lower.
In front of us, not behind.
In terms of being higher.
Right.
University of Illinois.
Seven.
I don't have the list. Can any of you help me with who the highest?
Northern.
I know the University of Illinois.
Northern.
Is Illinois State higher than we are?
Okay. Well, what's our size compared to the other universities, state universities?
Smaller. We're a lot smaller.
I mean, I know we're a lot smaller than U of I, but I'm just saying in terms of universities.
Our size?
Yeah, our, you know.
Yeah, they're in front of us. I mean, they're lower than we are. Northeastern's is lower. Governor State is lower.
And our size, are we larger and smaller than Northeastern?
We're comparable to Northeastern, and also we're a little larger than Governor State.
So you're saying they'll look at our tuition as we rank within the state. So
they take a look at that.
So you're telling me to catch 22 here.
Yeah. Another thing that's...
If we continue to raise it, we'll get less from the state.
Another thing, yeah. One of the things that we're looking at, too, is another point of information, just for the board. We just received notification recently that the Legislative Audit Commission has been commissioned to do audits of all the nine state universities. They want to look at our management structure. That's to see how efficiently we're operating management-wise. I'm not sure what the yardsticks they're going to be using in order to measure everyone, but these audits will be used as performance measures to see how well or how efficient that we are. And that is supposed to take effect almost immediately. And that's coming out of the Legislative Audit Commission. Now, one of the people that sits on the Legislative Audit Commission, is we'll be meeting with him on Monday at the state appropriation. And one of the questions inevitably is always, what is your tuition rate? What is your current tuition rate? You know, how do you rank with the other institutions? So we have to be very careful, you know, in terms of
I get it. That makes sense to me. I wasn't aware that they looked at that closely in terms of where we rank. But I guess my point is rely so heavily on the state to do the right thing in terms of, you know what I mean? So
the state's broke.
We got to fix our own problem. I just don't, I wouldn't want to look at the situation and say, well, let's not increase tuition X amount because we don't want to continue to increase in terms of our ranking, hoping the state gives us more money because it probably won't. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but the state's going to come back to us and say, we want you to pay for your pension. The state's going to come back to us and say, well, we're going to put more holes up so you can't get money from the Gaming Commission. So, to me, it just doesn't make sense that we rely on that. You know, and I don't know if you took that in consideration when you sort of come up with the 2.75%.
We did.
But
we did.
I don't know if I just don't know if I would put that much weight on that at this point.
Well, as I look at it, you know, when I look at the resolution, and the resolution says, in the next to the last, whereas the president, after review of the available data provided by the University Trustee and Fee Committee, which is comprised of university personnel and students, and after consultation with all the banks, so and so and so. And they made a recommendation of 2.75%. That's a recommendation coming from the entire university. And if that recommendation was 5%, I'd say great for the 5% because there's a consensus with administration and faculty and students that that's what's needed. But then if you tell me after going through that process, we're going to change that, perhaps even double it, based on information that they go and gather between 11 and 1, then I just don't think that's the way a board should do business. I'm reminded of one of the first things I heard when I came on board is the communication problems that exist sometimes between the university and the faculty, between the administration. And in the Senate resolution we got this morning in the academic committee, it says communication, a constant problem at the university, has improved. So if communication is improving, I just wonder how that's going to be affected by us doing something so drastic as raising tuition without any input from all the people who spend a lot of time coming to the recommendation that's before us right now.
Can I ask a question? Is there any anticipation of what the performance-based funding will do to our finances?
Yes, we already know that the 0.1% that I've indicated earlier has already been set aside for performance-based funding, and that amounts to about $45,000, $44,000 and some change.
Because we're anticipating that we will lose?
No, we're anticipating that we're going to get that back. We're going to meet whatever performance-based fundings, whatever the metrics are. We're anticipating that we'll be getting that $45,000 back.
I mean, I think Trustee Young makes a great point. I guess my only pushback to that is we got new information since
your committee.
That's right, significant information. So, again, it's my recommendation that we.
If I may, Mr. Chairman,
we go back,
exactly,
but that's
what
matter.
Information are we talking
well,
about?
Well, we didn't know much about this pension issue, which is coming. We didn't know much about, you know, this gaming issue we had. These are significant.
Well, the gaming issue is money that's coming in, and the pension issue is the issue that's unresolved. Well,
we don't know about it. We don't know if that money's coming in from the gaming.
And we don't know what's going on with the pension
that's
issue.
Exactly right.
Once we do that, I think that makes a difference. It's a legitimate reason to go back and readdress what might happen today. I don't think it's a legitimate reason to change all the work that's been done by other parts of the university.
Point taken. I think we should go back, but that's the Madam Chair's call.
Well, I'd like to for you to take the steps that were outlined by the President, and which were to take a look at the percentages and give us numbers once we conclude our meeting this morning.
Okay.
Let us know at the time of the full board meeting. Because and one other question I had, Trustee Young points out, we were not part of the committee process that made the recommendation to the board, and that's what it is. It is indeed a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And the board is empowered to either accept or reject that recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that you have carefully considered the issues with our enrollment and the potential impact of the reduction in our budget through our appropriation, and the possibility that we've now had to seek outside sources to help us get money that was appropriated, the 2%, and what impact that's going to have on our budget, and the fact that our reserves, while they look good on paper, and we're in a better cash position than we've had in years, they're still considered to be insufficient. So, with that, I'd like to see what the numbers look like.
Just so that I'm clear on what numbers, what analysis?
The analysis is if we were to increase not the 2.75, but we were to go up another 2% in every category, 2 to 3% in every category, what would it look like at 1%? What would it look like at, instead of 2.75, what would it look like at 3.75? What would it look like at 4.75?
You mean the total cash? Cash effect?
Yeah.
We have that analysis already.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just a matter of just, so you would like to see that at the full board meeting?
Right.
Okay. You certainly do that, because we already have that in coming up with this.
Right.
Oh, well, I guess it's tabled then in terms of the live text, and I guess we don't need to go.
No.
Okay. Right. Well, then that's all for me for the resolutions. Any other questions?
Okay, thanks. Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you, trustees.
Mr. Cloud.
Good morning, trustees. I'll start off by going through my Finance and Audit Committee report package. I'll try to be a little brief here because I also have a resolution for us to go through real quick. In regards to internal audit, we have finalized our last remaining whole building project for fiscal year 2011, issued a report in December to the board, as well as to the constituencies of the university. We have also, during this time period in the last quarter, issued 5 additional audit reports for statutory mandate audits, as well as 1 other process audit. We are currently engaged in 10 audits right now, in various stages of completion, a couple of mandate audits, as well as other process audits and projects that we have been asked to perform by university management. In regards to, on page 3, internal audit, we have continued our internship program. It is going exceedingly well. We have 4 students that came back this semester. 2 of them are going to be working in the summertime at Big 4, KPMG, and Ernst & Young. One of them will be graduating in May, and one of them will also be coming back and working with us in the summer. We are almost ready to start our internal audit software installation. The contracting process right now is almost complete. We're about 50% of the way through with that, too soon as you buy. We anticipate beginning our implementation phase beginning April 1st. In terms of the internal audit plan, based on a very large special project that we did in the last quarter regarding the Department of Ed, we needed to revise our plan, which I had a discussion of that with President Watson in mid-January, and communicated some of that to Trustee Scott as well. There's one other thing that's not in my report that I'd like to just say. I've been working as a board member of the Institute of Internal Auditor Chicago chapter. I have been working diligently trying to secure a scholarship for one of our business students or somebody who's interested in going into some sort of audit profession in the future. So that is going along very well. All the information has been submitted, and I expect to have an answer on that relatively shortly because their fiscal year aligns with ours, and hopefully that will be secured on an annual basis. If you have any questions in regards to the audits on page 5 through 7 is a bridge that just basically gives you a synopsis of the audits that were performed and where we currently are in terms of percent completion. That basically is what I have to say in regards to the Finance and Audit Committee report package. Do you have any questions?
I just want to say as a follow-up to your report, Mr. Clouds is going to go back and give us a risk assessment of the audit points he plans to cover in the next pursuant to the plan. So we'll know the risk profile of the areas he plans to address. And I've asked him to include in his audit something that had been moved to 2013, and that was the financial aid.
The financial aid.
The modified audit to include a review of financial aid this year.
It was planned for the first quarter of 2015. We're just going to see if we can move that into the fourth quarter to make that a high priority. In regards to the risk assessment process, that will begin shortly with all of the institutions to develop a new plan for the next 2 years. I would like to note that I yesterday sat down with IT and we've started a very large, comprehensive risk assessment for IT. So that started very well, and we anticipate that to be done in a few weeks, and that will be a good driver and an indicator for you as a board to know where our high-level risks are in regards to IT, and it will also help drive my internal audit plan. It will also provide a good mechanism for IT to be able to look at their resource allocation as well.
Thank you.
The other thing that we have on the plate here is one action item in regards to the internal audit charter. There, you should have two pieces in your package. One is a copy of the actual internal audit charter without the highlighted areas of change from last year's. This one is signed by both myself and the president. We both reviewed that together. The second piece of the package is the copy of the charter with areas highlighted in yellow of the changes that were made. The changes that were made basically reflect the changes to the international professional practice standards by the Institute of Internal Auditors. That pretty much governs the profession of internal audit. They added included some more provisions in there directing internal auditors to ensure that we had the definition of internal auditing as well as the code of ethics of how an internal auditor must conduct themselves accordingly. And that's basically the changes to the audit charter this year. So we just be looking to ratify that.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Any other questions for Mr. Clark?
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Ms. Davis.
Good morning, trustees. I just wanted to say that my report will be brief. However, since we were here in December, our department has grown. The president has approved two additional positions. So with me today is Attorney Deidre Cato, who joined our team in February, and Ms. Tammy Robinson, who joined our team as an official staff person in January.
Welcome.
Now, the board has reviewed my report, and the compliance department has been pretty active in building our program. So if you have any questions about the report, I'll be happy to answer them. The one thing I want to highlight is that coming up in just a month and a half, in May of 2012, the new external audit will begin. So we'll be focusing our attention to following up on the corrective action plans, making sure that they're implemented, working with Ken Cloud to make sure that those corrective action plans are actually effective. I'm also going to be meeting with Mr. Cloud to go over some of his own internal audits and to make sure that some of the recommendations that he has made to various departments are being looked at, and so that we just shoring up and making sure that we are as prepared for the 2012 audit as possible. So are there any additional?
Starting over again, huh? Here we go.
Okay.
it's time
flies. We got a 2-week break.
Time flies quickly, so.
I get it.
So when do you think you're going to be able to bring that whistleblower hotline online?
Well, actually, Chief Ken Cloud was expressing interest in that. So actually, it's just a matter of us getting together. We have three proposals that staff has worked hard to get, and actually, all three proposals, the amount of money is pretty low, so that we would not have to go out to bid. So once we make a decision, it would not be any lag time in terms of a bidding process. So it's basically, Mr. Cloud, I just have to determine within the next week or so which one we like the best and which one we will both be administrators. I mean, of the account, and hopefully internal audit can use it as well as it will be a whistleblower hotline for compliance as well. So I think we can get that done within the month. Don't you think so?
I think we can, once we review those three proposals together and make a decision, it'll be relatively quick to implement.
Okay. Thank you.
No additional questions?
Larry, are you working with them with the corrective action plans?
Yes, Mr. President. We've got corrective action plans that have been submitted from all departments for all the findings, including both material and immaterial for the fiscal year 11 audit.
Okay, I just wanted to make, okay.
So, President, we do have those plans, and what we've done is kind of
just wanted to make sure. All right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Nice to meet you all. I think we were we moved a little too quickly from your charter update. The committee needs to vote on the your presentation of your resolution.
Okay.
You could say put.
Yeah. Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
This has been shared with Judge Bush because of the code of ethics that was included in that. So she's the one who reviewed it. You would ask me to do that after we reviewed it.
Would you like to delay?
Yeah.
We'll delay the vote too.
We need to make sure counsel.
Okay. We'll delay the vote.
Maybe if you can look at it in between the board meeting, that would be great.
Thank you. Textbooks and learning.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Sylvia Gist, Dean of the College of Education, and we have here Gerald Knox, who is the accountant for the textbook and learning materials project. So he will talk to you this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, members of the board, and place of Dr. Warner, who with the balance of our team is currently in Ghana, wrapping up the current program, as also speaking with our partners there and future possibilities that she's exploring. You have the report in front of you. I just want to highlight two items. The first one dealt with the audit corrective actions. As stated, we have no audit findings under this current fiscal year's audit. And the last thing deals with the TLMP USA conference, which is basically the consortium that the universities, the MSIs who are currently under the USA program, excuse me, are coming together to work to search for other opportunities, not only within USA, but also outside of USA. Are there any questions?
I'd like to see no audit findings, particularly on this one.
And just for the record, under this current administrative team, we've not received any audit findings.
Thanks for that.
Just want to
nice work.
Say that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, trustees. I'm Sonia Clayton Pedersen, Interim Director of Athletics and Associate General Counsel.
Good morning. Nice to see you.
You too. I've submitted a board report that covers all of the units within athletics. I'm happy to entertain any questions that you may have on that, but I'd also like to just go over a couple of other highlights that are not included in the report. First, we expect our academic progress rate figures to be released in May by the NCAA. We are expecting some very nice results from that as a result of some of the more academically rigorous standards that we've put in place for student athletes. We'll see significant jumps for men's basketball and volleyball, which were two of the teams that were progressing through the penalty structure. We have filed waivers with the NCAA for some of our other teams and are awaiting a decision on those matters. President Watson and I continue to be involved with the committee for HBCUs and limited resource institutions with the NCAA Committee on Academic Performance. The committee has been working diligently to put in place some standards that will allow lower resource institutions to comply with newly advanced standards put out by the NCAA. And as a result of that work, there are many institutions that will benefit. It's been a great process for us and also has helped us networking with the NCAA and continuing to build our credibility with that organization. We are currently hosting the Great West Conference basketball tournament, which is going on at the Jones Convocation Center through Saturday. We invite you all to come out and for that event. We also hosted the indoor track and field championships just a couple of weeks ago. It was a huge success for the university, lots of great feedback. We had two of our student athletes who were medaled as Great West champions, and one of which set a conference record. That was Kelvin White, and Jay Emerson also was quite successful. I'm sorry.
What events were they?
The 60-meter hurdles for Kelvin and the shot put for Jaya. We also, and I know the chairman likes to get some results from, see here what some of the results are from our sports programs. So even though we are in a rebuilding process with basketball, I did want to highlight the fact that we have other sports teams that are achieving, including our women's golf team, who won the Tennessee State University Invitational in the fall, and our tennis team, where twins Rosalina and Rosalia Teoprieto are doubles champs at both in Illinois State and Wright State Invitationals.
The new golf coach has settled in, I see.
Absolutely. And that brings me to my next point, some of the campus connections that we've been making. Dean Derek Collins has, we've been engaging in conversation about bringing to the College of Business of Golf seminar for our students, and our two golf coaches, Kyle Steffen for women's golf and Marty Sheen for men's golf, have been in contact with the College of Business about setting that up, something where we can help students learn etiquette, work on their technique so that they can use those in summer internships and beyond. As part of the Great West Conference Championships that I mentioned earlier, we've partnered with Information Technology Division to live stream those games on the internet. It's the first time that we've been able to do that on a hosted site where we can actually generate some revenue from it. The Great West Conference is also making a donation to our CMAT department, who are actually operating the cameras, in the amount of $7,000 for their services so that they can further their program. And lastly, I did want to talk a little bit about the AD search that's ongoing. We have an extensive committee that crosses several campus stakeholder groups, and we've been reviewing the candidates, seen some, we have a good pool so far. Several candidates with 25 plus years of experience in collegiate athletic administration. We'll be inviting three of those candidates onto campus this month for a series of interviews and town hall meetings where we expect them to make presentations to the campus community.
What's our recruiting looking like?
As for athletes, mm-hmm. We are continuing our efforts to increase the rosters. Part of the 4% budget allocation that was approved goes to additional scholarships and to help fund teams that have been traditionally underfunded in that regard. And so the biggest focus right now for us is track and field. We have a new coach on staff, along with several new assistant coaches. He was just this week certified to recruit off campus by the NCAA, and so he's hitting the ground running. We are expecting to increase those numbers significantly. We've already done quite a bit of mid-year recruiting from our own ranks of enrolled students, and had five new student athletes come out, including students from our Honors College.
Okay, thank you.
Glad to see the those GPAs up.
I mean,
that's
yes.
a big change from a year ago. That's nice work.
Yes, absolutely.
I imagine that's probably a result of study programs you put in place.
Yes, absolutely, and the academic support personnel that we have assisting students. We did honor those scholar athletes at a basketball game last month, where we recognized the more than 50% of our student athletes have a GPA of 3.0 or above, and seven of them achieved a 4.0. So we did honor them publicly for that achievement.
And this is the only year we won't be able to compete in that tournament, right?
That is correct. As of now, we are not anticipating any further ban for men's basketball based on the improvement that we saw the last year. However, it is still subject to NCAA review based on their new standards, and they look at multi-year rates now instead of the single-year rate for making a determination on the postseason ban. But we are expecting a good result from this.
Okay. Excellent.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Excellent work.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, trustees. For the record, I am C. Cole Dillon. I'm the Chief Information Officer. This morning, I have submitted a report, as well as I have an action item in the form of a resolution. There are a couple of things that I want to highlight that are not in my report, including that the university has been awarded a software grant from the Microsoft Corporation in the amount of $243,000 through the Thurgood Marshall Foundation, and you will be receiving an email from the board office regarding that the Microsoft Corporation, as part of their due diligence, may be contacting you individually as board members. And so there is an email coming out from the board office.
It went yesterday.
Okay, that went out yesterday from the board office to explain what that contact is all about. And we are also in the process of securing a grant that will allow us to complete the iWire project. If you're not familiar with the iWire project is a dark fiber project that the state of Illinois started back in the first decade of the 21st century to connect research universities to what is known as dark fiber, basically a really fat internet pipe. Separate and apart from that, the Illinois Century Network has connected the rest of the state universities to that really fat internet pipe. Chicago State is the only state university which is not yet connected to that really fat internet pipe. So there are two things that are happening in information technology that will bring us to the state of currency. One is that upon receipt of this grant, we will complete the connection from the metro station at 95th Street, which is where the project was stubbed off. We will be able to do the directional bore and bring that connection to the university. The second thing is, in my report, I talk about an RFP process that we are currently engaging in. As a result of the budget process last year, IT requested and was approved $1.5 million in additional funding to be able to upgrade all of the switchgear in all of the buildings on campus. What that means is, in order for us to be able to accept that really fat signal, we have to have state-of-the-art switchgear, which will receive at least 1 gigabyte of transmission. Currently, we receive 100 megabyte. But more significantly about that, what that represents is that within a four-year period, the Information Technology Division will have completely renovated all of the infrastructure related to technology delivery here at the university, and that's a significant accomplishment. Most CIOs don't do that in a lifetime, let alone in 4 years.
The president's going to recognize you in some way. We appreciate the hard work, and I see that you've added staff to assist you with your projects. One question that you and I discussed in our preliminary meeting was the
your work with the CFO to automate some of our student processes. I think it was the is it the Bursar process, where the process is where we're still looking at paper.